Well, hello, advanced listeners. We are so glad that you have joined us today as we explore our travel article for the month of February. And I'm really excited about this article. Perhaps you already know why I'm excited about it, because we're talking about my home country, New Zealand. And that makes me, I don't know, happy. That makes me happy. So I hope that you too will be happy to explore this part of the world with me today. But I am not alone. In fact, I have two people to come on this journey together with me. And to my right, I have the lovely
Linda C. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Linda.
I am very happy to be here today because I love hiking. I haven't had a chance to go to New Zealand yet, but I look forward to the opportunity. And I haven't done a travel article in a while, so I'm very glad to be able to be on this panel today.
I'm very glad, too, because I know you're an avid hiker, and so I'm excited to show you this part of the world.
I am, too.
And to my left, I have
David Lee. Hello. I'm very excited to be back.
It's good to have you, David.
I don't do a lot of hiking, but whenever I do, it's always amazing.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Why is it amazing, David? What do you like about hiking?
It's a change of scenery. Like, you see all the buildings every day, and then you go up to the mountain. There's no one, well, some people, but you see animals, you hear different sounds, different smells, different color. It's just very nice.
Right, and especially when you live in a city, you're surrounded by buildings and concrete and asphalt. It is really nice to just get away into nature.
That's right.
Linda, why do you like hiking so much?
Well, there's just something about being in nature, like smelling the fresh air, seeing greenery, and just being out in a natural environment. And actually, being here in Taipei, you do sort of get the best of both worlds, because although it is a big city, I don't have to go very far to be out in nature and go hiking, because there are a lot of hiking trails nearby.
Right. In fact, where we work, we are very close to a hill, right? We are very close to a hill right beside us. And even if you wanted to take your lunchtime to go up just for a short walk up the hill there, you could, in fact, do that. I've done it a couple of times after work. Have you both done that before?
I've done it a few times.
Yeah?
Yeah, like you said, usually after lunch, we go for a half an hour walk. They're nice.
Good for the digestion.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't gone during lunch. Well, maybe once, yeah. But I usually like to go on more intense hikes, so I can't really do that during our short lunch period.
It's not long enough.
Right.
I have seen you bike anyway, so you are getting your exercise in there at lunchtime. Well, listeners, we are exploring New Zealand's hiking trails, and in our deck for today, we say ascents and views that offer one spectacular surprise after another. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that as we go into our article. So why don't you join us and turn to your advanced magazine on page 26. And if you have your electronic device, join us there as well. We are going to take the reading from the top of the first column.
New Zealand's hiking trails, ascents and views that offer one spectacular surprise after another. The hike had been invigorating, as in just the sight of grueling. A 6-mile ascent into Mount Aspiring National Park had brought us to an overlook of Rootburn Falls, a thundering multi-level cascade of crystalline water, standard for New Zealand, jumping from the rock face above our heads and rushing into the deep valley below us. There we could see the Rootburn River winding through the high-shouldered Humboldt Mountains on its way to Lake Wakatipu. Don't miss out! Other than the danger of overextending yourself, hiking New Zealand's abundance of trails is almost never disappointing. In fact, if you come all this way and don't take advantage of them, you've truly missed out. And the Kiwis work hard to make hiking attractive. The maintenance on the trails was impressive. Crushed rock trail beds, comfortable clearance even in the densest areas of the beach and fern-dominated rainforests, boardwalks that meander over wetlands, and well-built, if sometimes unnerving, suspension bridges that span the Royalling Creeks. Richard Davies, a recreation manager for New Zealand's Department of Conservation, said of the manicured trails, "It hasn't happened by chance. All our staff is working on certain service standards. Wherever you go in the country, you get a similar experience."
Well, listeners, if you're just joining us, we're looking at our travel article for the month of February, February 15th and 16th. And February in New Zealand is summertime. It's the opposite of here, the northern hemisphere. New Zealand is in the southern hemisphere. And so this is the peak season to be able to travel around, enjoy the scenery of New Zealand. And their hiking trails are well known. Around the world, we have many international tourists that come just for the hiking trails and to see the scenery. In our deck, we actually said, ascents and views that offer one spectacular surprise after another. And David, what is an ascent?
Ascent basically means you're going up a slope.
Right, and there are many ascents in New Zealand.
That's right.
This actually, the hiking trail that we will be talking about today is along the Southern Alps of New Zealand. That is in the South Island. And the Southern Alps actually cover the eastern part of the South Island. So it's quite extensive. Now, the author went on this hike. His name is Mark, and he starts off talking about how the hike was for him. Linda, what does he say about it?
He uses the adjective invigorating. The hike had been invigorating. And that's something that I find hikes to be, which means strenuous or a little difficult, but at the same time, it gives you energy.
Right.
So I like hikes that are a little difficult, but at the same time, it will invigorate me or give me energy.
Good, right. So we say he's breaking a sweat, you know, because it's causing him to extend himself and burn energy. But at the same time, it's challenging, right? And mm-hmm. he goes on to say, as in just this side of grueling. Do you enjoy grueling hikes, Linda?
On occasion, yeah. Not if it's too grueling, not if it's too strenuous and I'm just, you know, I'm dying. Don't want that to happen.
No. Right. And that, I think this is a good word, grueling. We don't often see that. But here is talking about something that's tiring and demanding. And this is a 6-mile ascent. So imagine just going uphill for 6 miles. That is quite a lot. And that's into Mount Aspirings National Park. In New Zealand, we have many national parks. This is just one of them. But it's also very famous because it's in the southern the South Island, and Mount Aspiring also holds our highest mountain called Mount Cook. Well, here it's brought the author to an overlook of Rootburn Falls. And an overlook, what would be an overlook, David?
An overlook is a clear space where you can see all around you.
Right, okay, good. Like a lookout point,
yeah.
Right? And what does the author see at this overlook, Linda?
Well, he gets a view of Rootburn Falls, a thundering multi-level cascade of crystalline water. So that's a waterfall, and he describes the water as clear as crystal.
And I thought this was very good use of adjectives here.
Mm-hmm.
Multi-level cascade of crystalline water. It says a standard for New Zealand.
I actually researched it, and some people online say that New Zealand has the clearest water in the world.
Yeah, I think that I've gotten used to that standard. I didn't realize it because, you know, it's just so normal for us. But we know that we can usually drink from the lakes and the rivers and, mm-hmm. and things like this. Of course, we're taught to be careful in case, you know, there is something ahead of you up the stream that may have infected the water. Right. We do try to be aware of that. But in general, we think that we can drink directly from our faucet. We don't need to boil it first or put it through a filter. We've gotten very used to that. So I would say that that's standard for New Zealand. But as a local, we don't realize that until we leave the country
right.
and realize mm-hmm. how other countries need to deal with
yeah.
their water. It goes on to say that this water is jumping from the rock face above, and it's above their heads. It's rushing into the deep valley below them. And I think just, you know, you can imagine the sound that comes from rushing water. It's very loud, and it can be very majestic. And then they go on to say, we could see the Rootburn River winding through the high-shouldered Humboldt Mountains on its way to Lake Wakatipu. So we know that's what water does, right? It moves from the mountains down into the lakes. And when something is high-shouldered, Linda, what do we mean by that?
Well, that's just describing how the mountains are. They have a lot of peaks, but they're more extended. They're not sharp peaks.
Right, exactly. Good. And Lake Wakatipu is one of the many lakes that the South Island has. And if you get to see the lakes, they do have this crystalline water. You know, you look at it and it's very clear. So if you do get a chance to have a look at that, don't miss out. Right, but actually that's the name of our next paragraph. Don't miss out. What does the author go on to say here, David?
Well, the author says, other than the danger of maybe overextending yourself while hiking in New Zealand, the trails are never disappointing.
Right, and I would just say that because there is also an abundance. There's a lot of trails everywhere. The national parks are well looked after by the government. We have a specific department that looks after them, maintains them, and I would say as a lifestyle, we are encouraged to go out there mm-hmm. and hike as much as possible.
Yeah, and it's obvious that the author he likes hiking, or he is very into nature, because he makes it very attractive. Just the descriptions that he gives and the adjectives, notice the adjectives that he'll use throughout the article to describe the hiking trails in New Zealand's scenery in general.
Right, and that contrast of, oh, you're going to be tired, but it's worth
yeah.
it,
yeah.
right? And so he says, in fact, if you come all this way and don't take advantage of them, you're truly missing out. Well, that's quite extreme.
Yeah, and you definitely don't want to miss out on things, right?
And especially the view here. He says the Kiwis work hard to make hiking attractive. We're not talking about the little birds that are called Kiwis, this nocturnal bird that doesn't fly and you can only see at night. No, we are talking about the people of New Zealand. Actually,
right.
That's our nickname.
Mm-hmm. Do people actually say New Zealanders? Is that used sometimes?
I think in diplomatic, you know, in a diplomatic circle you would, or for your passport or for any government official documents, yes. But in everyday language, no. We say Kiwi. Yeah.
Sure.
So if you ask me, where are you from? I would say, oh, I'm a Kiwi. And I kind of expect you to know what that means.
Right, right.
But actually, it does mean that it is a person from New Zealand, in the same way a person from Australia is an Aussie.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
We like to shorten things.
Right. And Kiwis actually, they have this reputation of being very outdoorsy and into nature, because everywhere I've traveled, I've run into a Kiwi. And although the country is so small, you know, you find someone from New Zealand almost everywhere.
On a trail.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. We really do grow up with that. In fact, our previous Prime Minister, Helen Clark, she was an avid hiker,
mm-hmm.
Even to the point of going up to Mount Everest.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's, and actually the first person to meet, to get to the top of Mount Everest was a man called Sir Edmund Hillary, and he was a New Zealander. So it's in our blood.
Mm.
There we go. Well, how do the Kiwis make hiking attractive, David?
Well, I think a very important thing is that it says the people there maintain the trails very impressively.
Right. Yeah, and they do that. The trails themselves are made up of crushed rock, and they just take the rock from next to the trails themselves, crush it up, and put it on the trail. I find this is really good for keeping your traction.
Hmm.
So you don't lose or slip over or fall over. So, because it can rain quite
right.
a lot.
Okay.
Because it goes on to say it's quite dense.
Mm-hmm.
The forest is quite dense, made up of beech and fern. There is a lot of rain. It can be quite light rain, but you don't want to slip over, right? If it was muddy, you could slip over.
Right, but sometimes that's part of the fun.
I'll let them know.
I mean, it's nice to have nice, neat trails, and it is helpful, especially when it rains. But, yeah, I tend to prefer more natural trails.
Muddy, muddy.
Well, not necessarily like getting muddy, but, yeah.
Right.
Like when it just looks more natural.
And you can smell it, right, coming up from the... You can smell the nature as you're walking through it as well. Well, we see they have made boardwalks that meander through wetlands. Linda, what does meander mean?
And meander just means that it's not in a straight line, so it's a path that sort of wanders. And we can even describe or use that verb to describe maybe somebody when they're walking, they're just wandering. They're not really going in a straight path. They're sort of just meandering, going wherever, I don't know, wherever the wind takes them.
Right. Yeah, and this is where you get to enjoy the rainforest. They are well built, but it does say if sometimes unnerving, perhaps because they are going over a lot of water. And then suspension bridges that span the roiling creeks. Now, what is roiling? Roiling is muddy. It's a muddy creek. It's not a word that we often use, but here again, like Linda was saying, there's a lot of adjectives used to describe the places here. And the suspension bridges do tend to rock a little bit, so that could be a little bit unnerving if you have started walking and another person gets on and it changes the balance.
Yeah, that especially if it's at a very high suspension, then you start to feel really nervous. That's when it can be unnerving.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, China built a bridge, a suspension bridge out of glass. Mm. Did you guys hear about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be very unnerving.
Right.
Yeah, I've been at the top of some of the towers we have. Like in New Zealand, we have a tower you can look down, and it just has a glass floor. Mm-hmm. Or some of the gondolas have a glass floor. Mm-hmm. That can be a little bit unnerving, right? Make you feel nervous and anxious. Well, like I said earlier, the government has a department that looks after these places very well, and that is called the Department of Conservation. Linda, what does the word conservation mean?
Well, conservation can have a couple of different meanings. Here, it's conserving the environment. It's taking care of the environment and maintaining it.
Right, and we are introduced to Richard Davies. He's a recreation manager for the Department of Conservation, and they look after these manicured trails. What do we mean if something is manicured?
Well, when we say manicure, we mean like well polished. We could say, you know, manicure nails.
Right, they're well looked after, right? And he says what, Linda?
He says that it hasn't happened by chance. All of our staff is working on certain service standards. Wherever you go in the country, you get a similar experience. So this is something that is a standard, a high standard for that for them to maintain the environment.
Right. And I would agree with that. The Department of Conservation is very well known for looking after all the national parks throughout New Zealand. And your experience in the South Island will be exactly the same as in the North Island. They have a high standard. In fact, I must tell you, I thought about becoming a park ranger for a while because it just seemed like such an exciting and interesting job. Oh, Linda, you could think about that.
Yeah, that's appealing to me as well.
And they really do look after the place very well. So we do thank the Department of Conservation for giving us these beautiful trails. But not only are the trails great, the views are too. So let's look at our next reading for today.
Unrivaled views. The spectacular scenery this island nation has to offer is unsurpassed. Director Peter Jackson didn't just film his J.R.R. Tolkien epics here because he didn't want to leave his home country. The vertical landscapes perfectly lend themselves to fantasy. What we were seeing often felt unreal. The knife-edged ridges on the mountains, the steep faces of which are frequently laced with waterfalls, the dense, verdant forests filled with calling birds and towering giant ferns that make you feel as if you've stumbled into some prehistoric world. The glittering lakes, where the water is so clear you can see the bottom. All of these and more make this a country of constant surprises, and hiking is one of the best ways to see it.
Well, listeners, thanks for joining us as we explore New Zealand's hiking trails, and in particular the Rookburn Track in the South Island in the Mount Aspiring National Park. Now, we've heard about how great the Department of Conservation looks after its trails, but this place is also well known for its views. And our paragraph is entitled Unrivaled Views. Linda, when we say something is unrivaled, what do we mean by that?
Well, let's look at that, take it apart a little bit. See the prefix un, which means not, and rival, to compete. So these are views that you can't compete with. There's nothing else that matches these views. And the views that you get when hiking, that's one of the advantages or one of the great rewards of hiking. So after you make that grueling or tiring ascent, you get this fantastic view, and that's your reward.
Right, exactly. And actually, the author describes it a different way here. He says, the spectacular scenery this island nation has to offer is unsurpassed. Again, another word, unsurpassed and unrivaled, are similar.
Mm-hmm. Are synonyms, right. So can't be undone. There's really no comparison.
Well, what do we learn in this next sentence, David?
Well, we see director Peter Jackson, he filmed his J.R.R. Tolkien epics, which we know is Lord of the Rings.
Right, and if anything, Lord of the Rings is well known for its scenery, the scenes that are used in the movie, right? And I would say that tourism has increased in New Zealand because of these movies. We do not take that for granted, and are very happy that it has brought that to the place.
Definitely seeing those movies, the Lord of the Rings, it also makes me want to go to New Zealand to check out those places because it's so beautiful. He makes it really, really just amazing, like the scenery.
And, I would say, like, if you saw Rivendell or some of these places within Lord of the Rings, they were the cities that were used there, then the scenery, or even when they're hiking, you know, through the mountains, these are some of the places that they use to actually film in. And it says here he didn't want to leave his home country. Peter Jackson tried to use New Zealand during that filming. It says the vertical landscapes perfectly lend themselves to fantasy. Linda, what do we mean when something lends itself to something?
That just means it's suitable for that thing or it can be considered in that way. So this scenery of New Zealand was perfect for his novel, or well, for J.R.R. Tolkien's novels and for his film, because it had this fantastic element. Like, and I wonder sometimes just looking at that scenery, it looks unreal. Like, does it really look like that?
One might think it's made by CGI, but... No.
You know, the author felt the same way. What we were seeing often felt unreal. He goes on to describe the knife-edged ridges on the mountains, the steep faces of which are frequently laced with waterfalls. What do we mean, David, when something is laced with something?
It's interwoven, so it's connected.
Right. So you're seeing waterfalls falling off the sides of mountains. And it says the dense, verdant forest filled with calling birds. Do you enjoy hearing nature, Linda, when you're walking through it?
I do, yeah, especially the sound of birds. Not if they're fighting or, you know.
It reminds me when I went on a hike in New Zealand this year with my husband. He was walking along and this wood pigeon just flew right over the top of his head, so close. And just the wings made this sound, this whoo-hoo-hoo sound, you know. Mm. And it was just so majestic in its sound. That's how close you can get to nature as you're walking on these trails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great when you can catch, you know, a glimpse of a bird or some type of wildlife when you're on a hiking trail.
Yes. I think even the smell of these giant ferns as you're walking through there, it says it can make you feel as if you're stumbled into a prehistoric world. But it's okay. You won't meet dinosaurs. But what do they go on to say about the lakes, David?
They say that the lakes are so clear that you can see the bottom.
Wow.
The glittering lakes.
Yeah,
it's really hard to imagine.
Really hard to imagine. And you would think, yeah, maybe overfishing or things like that. But no, you can actually see the bottom. Wow. What does he go on to say at the end here, Linda?
Well, he says, all of these and more make this country surprising. There are constant surprises, and hiking is one of the best ways to see it. And, you know, I believe him. The way he's described it, just, oh, take me there. I just need to book a plane ticket.
He has a great way in using his adjectives to make us feel like we are already walking on this trail. And perhaps, listeners, you are imagining in your mind yourself getting away from the busyness of life that you're currently in and being able to take in some fresh air and walk along this trail. But it's not over yet, because we have another day to explore this hike and more about New Zealand. So we invite you to join us here again tomorrow. But I would love to hear if you've had some great experiences hiking around the world. Where have you hiked around the world? And why was it great for you? What did you enjoy about it? We would love to hear your feedback. You can contact us through studioclassroom.com. Write us a letter. And we love to hear what you, the listener, have experienced and how perhaps these articles inspire you too. But that's all the time we have for today, so make sure you join us again tomorrow. For now, this is Amanda,
Linda,
David,
saying goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.